The first source of the sheet are very familiar psukim. We say them every day of the year. Vayesha Hashem, these are the psukim that come before Shirat Hayam in the parasha of Bishalach. Vayesha Hashem Vayom Hu Et Yisrael Miyad Mitzrayim. The Jews were redeemed from the hand of Mitzrayim. Vayom Hu, on that day. And they saw the Egyptians were dead on the edges of the seashore. Okay. So, there's something to say about that. Rashi points out, Rashi doesn't like anthropomorphisms. Not as much as Unkelus doesn't like them, but he also doesn't like them. I mean, nobody likes them a lot. The Ramban, right, if we talk in terms of the Mikraot Gidolot, for the Ramban there was a term, because from the Parshanut point of view, the Ramban noticed that the anthropomorphisms are not always the same. Sometimes God has a yad, and sometimes he has a zeroah, and sometimes he has kas. And because of that, the Ramban, following the lead of Kabbalists, I'm a little nervous now when I say anything about Kabbalah, because Iris is here. But I'll take a chance. The Kabbalists, even before the Ramban, noticed this and thought that it was an important literary fact. And they would have to distinguish why the Torah in some places calls it the Yad, and sometimes the Etzba, and sometimes the Zroah. And they were able to make distinctions. But Rashi did not do that. He wasn't so advanced in that particular area. But the Yad HaGdolah, Rashi says that Hagvura Hagdola, it's not Yad, Shenesta Yado, Shasta Yado Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's sort of like modifying it a little bit, making it easier for us to put up with. V'harbe L'shonot Noflim Al Yishon Yad. And not only is the word Yad meaningless, but you could substitute for Yad many other things and relate them somehow together. In modern parlance, you might say, if there is something ineffable, I don't know exactly what that word means, but it's a good word, ineffable. It's not, you can't really say anything about it. So then you say something. Anyway, in other words, all we have is Lashon B'nei Adam. That's all we have. The language that we use where we talk about things we've experienced. So what if we want to talk about something we haven't experienced, or whose experience is unclear to us? We use the same words. I mean, there's no way to distinguish. So that the word Yad, we use the word Yad because we have to use a word. Not because it doesn't mean that God has a hand, or that the hand of God did something. It's rather that we are at a loss. There is no language for relating the experience of the divine, except the language of experiencing the human. So that's it. I mean, what are we going to do? That's basically what Rashi says. Abay l'shonot noflim l'shon yad v'chulan l'shon yad mamash hein, and they all mean yad. V'hamifarsho yitaken l'shon achar inyan adibur. So someone who comes to explain the pasuk will explain it in a way that's reasonable, de-emphasizing the word yad and emphasizing that it is the power of God somehow that did this. So again, the difference between the Kabbalists and the non-Kabbalists, to my mind, is that the Kabbalists internally distinguish why the Torah sometimes says one word and sometimes another word. The rationalists, who were supposedly led by Unkelus, at least according to the Ramban, the rationalists said, Well, it's all the same. You could translate it one way, you could translate it another way. It doesn't really make any difference. Even though translations in those days had to be literal. Being literal was a very important part of translating, because after all, you want to connect people back to the Torah. You don't want to just give them the idea. That's not a translation. Maybe in modernity, that could be a translation, like the modern translations of the Bible. I mean, modern, not JPS, but really modern translations of the Bible. You don't always recognize what it's talking about. So the ancient translators wouldn't have that. But it's the second pasuk which really interests me. The one that Rashi doesn't comment on. Vayar Yisrael et hayad ha'gdola asher atzah Hashem b'Mitzrayim. It's the end of the second pasuk. Vayir'u ha'am et Hashem. Okay, they had Yirat Hashem. They realized God was powerful, strong, could do almost anything in the world that they could imagine. And then it says this. Vayaminu ba'Hashem u'b'Moshe avdo. It's hard to imagine what this might mean. Vayaminu b'Hashem. Okay, I don't know what that means, but it makes sense in the context. They believed in God. So they believed in God about something. They had to, like, what was the something? The pasuk doesn't tell us. But they achieved some level of faith, belief, acceptance, that God would in fact keep the promise to Avram Avinu, for example. But what does Uve Moshe Avdo mean? After all, they are now in Yam Suf, having crossed Yam Suf. What is it that Moshe Rabbeinu? What is it that Moshe Rabbeinu pressed them with that they believed in Moshe Rabbeinu? Now, this question demands of us a review, some review of things that we already know. So if you look at the Shmot Perek Gimel, we have the story of the confrontation between God and Moshe Rabbeinu and the discussion that they had when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was charging Moshe Rabbeinu with leadership. So you're going to go and lead them. So it says, "Vayomer od Elokim Moshe kol tamal b'nei Yisrael, Hashem Elokei Avotechem, Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov." So if we were doing parshanut, we would say, "This is important. Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. This is an important thing." Shelachani Aleichem, He sent me to you. Zeshmi Lo'olam, Zeshmi Lidor. Okay. This could either be written off as a phrase, of which there are parallels in Ugaritic or something, or it has some meaning, that God said, Zeh Shmi, Zeh Zichri, and then Dor, forever and ever. But again, this is not the main focus of our attention. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech Ve'asavta Etzik Bnei Yisrael V'amata Lehem Hashem Elokei Avotechem. Near Eli, Elohe Abraham Yisak V'Yakov Leimor Pakol Pakadati Etchem. I remember you. V'etasui Lechem in Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to say to Bnei Yisrael, "Who am I?" He's going to introduce himself. God appeared to me, and God told me, and God sent me, and here I'm telling you all of this. V'yomer V'omar. Sorry, V'omar. Ale Etchem Me'oni Mitzrayim El Eretz Hakanani Yechidi Emori V'Pruziv Echivi Ayusi El Eretz. Zavat Chalav Advash. I'm going to take you out of this miserable place that you're in and bring you to a land flowing with milk and honey, right? And gas. Pasuk 18. Vishamu Likolecha. You see that? The most important two words that interest us right now. Vishamu Likolecha. It's a promise. God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, they're going to listen to you. Just tell them what I tell you. Shabu b'kolecha. Ubata ata v'ziknei Yisrael amel p'nitzrayim v'mata mila v'shem elokei ha'ivrim nikra aleinu v'ata nelcha ena der shloshet yamim b'vidbar v'zavachta v'nizbicha slicha l'shem elokeinu. So you just tell Paro, we're going for 3 days. That's another mystery. Why should we tell Paro we're going for 3 days? Why don't we just tell Paro we're leaving? After all, we have God's power behind us. Okay, a problem. It's a problem, but it's not a problem that we're dealing with at the moment. I just want to say that, if you ignore things intelligently, it's better. So don't imagine that this is not a problem. It is a problem. My hand. Beat those Egyptian, and then he will send you. Remember we talked about this last week? Chain is a word, right? It doesn't have a meaning that we can kind of grab onto too easily, but it's a positive word, a special word. Benoach matzachain, right? Natati et chain. There is something about that word, chain. Ha'am hazeh b'nei Mitzrayim v'yakitel l'chu lo t'lchu rekam, and you're not going to go empty handed. V'shala isha mishchenta. Mystery. Why do they have to borrow? They just beat down Makat v'charot. They killed every firstborn. Not they, but God killed every firstborn in Mitzrayim. The Egyptians have never been in worse shape. But why do we have to go and borrow? I mean, who are we fooling? We're not coming back. We're going to bring any of this stuff back to them. But it says in the pasuk, "V'shalai isha mishchenta v'migarat beita klei kesef klei zahav u'smalot v'samtem al b'neichem v'b'neichem v'nitzaltem et Mitzrayim." That's what it says. That's what the pasuk says. And now what are all these pasuk? What does it say in this pasuk? These are the words that God said to Moshe Rabbeinu. The description that God said, gave to Moshe Rabbeinu, and said, you're the winning hand. You have God behind you. Everything will work out. Not only will you leave Mitzrayim, but you'll leave with untold riches. The wealth of Mitzrayim will be yours when you leave Mitzrayim. I just wanted to see Pasuk Yud Chet in the Rashi. Remember, this is the mystery Pasuk. V'shamu'ud lekolecha. That's what God says to Moshe Rabbeinu. They will listen to you. So the way we understand the Torah, you could understand it perhaps in different ways. If God says that v'shamu b'kolecha, then they're supposed to v'shamu b'kolecha. It's not like maybe it'll happen. This is the way we read the Chumash. Maybe somebody could read it differently. It doesn't matter. But we want to read it that way. That if God says v'shamu b'kolecha, it's a Rashi. Rashi pasuk yud ched, Rashi shavu lekolecha me'aleihem on their own. We won't have to force them. They're going to listen to you. Why would they listen to you? According to Rashi, v'kevan shamar lahem lashon ze yishmeu lekolecha. If you tell them the words that I have told you, pasuk yud zayin. Right? Pasuk Tet Zayin. Tell them, Mata lehem, Hashem Elokei Avotechem, Nira Elai Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Leimor, Pakol Pakadati Etchem, Ve'et Ha'asu Eilachem Be'Mitzrayim. If I tell you that I am leading the fulfillment of the promise to Avram, to Yitzchak, to Yaakov, then they will listen to you. B'shamu b'kolecha. Back to Rashi. B'shamu b'kolecha me'aleihem. B'kevan shetom aleihem l'shon zeh. Yishmu l'kolecha. Since you will speak to them with my words and tell them that you represent Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov and the promise to them, etc., they will listen. Shekvar simen zeh basur b'yadam siman. Siman zeh basur b'yadam. They already know that this is the language of Geulah. Yaakov Amar, Yosef amar lahem, pakod yivkod Elohei Elohim etchem. It was this idea of pakod yivkod, which means that God remembers you, that God is fulfilling a promise. So I say, it reminds me. Remember the Ramban Breshit Perek Yud Bet. The Ramban says. Maaseh, everything in Breishit, all the stories in Breishit of the Avot, are Maaseh Avot, Siman Lebanim. That's what the Ramban says. But the way the Ramban, those words are hard to understand. I mean, if something happened to the Avot, so it could happen to the Banim. Not quite that way. The Avot ensure the result that will take place for the Banim. So that if Avraham, Vayhira Av Ba'aretz, Perek Yud Bet, Breshit Perek Yud Bet, Vayhira Av Ba'aretz, as a result of the Ra'av Ba'aretz, Avraham does a totally crazy thing. He decides to go to Mitzrayim. Why is it totally crazy? If God told Avraham of Yitzvoritz Canaan, and that's where he's going to live, so who cares if there's a Ra'av Ba'aretz? If God could feed the Jews in the desert with man for 40 years, don't you think he could get sandwiches for Avraham Avinu in Eretz? So why did Avraham Avinu go to Eretz? Why did he go? Then the second crazy thing about the story is that he had so little faith in God's ability to protect him that he forced his wife, whose name at the time was Sarai, to lie and to say she was his sister and not his wife, in order that the Egyptians should not kill him. As a result of which, the Egyptian king and others perhaps with him were afflicted, right, by a divine punishment for taking Sarai. This I'm just telling the story. This is the story. They were afflicted. And finally, Abraham, his entourage, is chased out of Egypt, but not before they get flocks, large animals, small animals, and whatever else they might have in Egypt together, and Avraham Avinu came back. So if the Ramban does not comment on the story. He does comment on the fact that Avraham Avinu may have made a mistake. He says, Chait chata bishkaga. Those are the words of the Ramban, bishkaga. I mean, if that's correct, it's like really odd thing that the Ramban said. But if we take the principle of Maaseh Avot Siman Lebanim, what is happening? Well, it's a prelude to the slavery of the Jews in Mitzrayim and getting chased out of Mitzrayim b'rechush gadol with a lot of stuff. Yes, you would agree to that? You have to agree. I'm so enthusiastic about it. You'll have much of a choice. So this is what the Ramban would say. The Ramban would say that, what was Avraham Avinu doing? Why did he go to Mitzrayim? Well, why did Avraham Avinu go to Shechem? Remember Shechem, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, went to write to Shechem, and what did Rashi say? He went to Davin because he knew that his great-great-grandchildren, right? Great-great-grandchildren, Shimon, Levi, would fight in Shechem to protect the honor of their sister Dinah. Right? And that would be a difficult time. So Avraham Avinu went to Shechem to ensure that the victory of Shimon Velevi would be as easy a victory as was possible and Davin on their behalf. That's what Avraham Avinu did according to Rashi. What did Avraham Avinu do when he went to Mitzrayim? Why did he go to Mitzrayim? According to this Ramban, this principle in the Ramban, that everything preludes everything else, that everything that happens is going to happen again in on a bigger screen, on a bigger stage, because Avraham Avinu wanted to leave Mitzrayim. That's what he wanted. He wanted to make sure that his descendants would be able to leave in a more pleasant way, and that the affliction would be imposed upon the Egyptians. So Avraham Avinu went down and he did this crazy thing in order that the Egyptians should be punished, and that the Jews would be able to, that he would be able to leave the tribe, Birchush Gadol. And so this was a kind of a way of saying, I want to make sure that there were no hitches in the promise that God gave to me about my great-grandchildren. In other words, not that God won't keep God's promise, but it's rather that things can mess up a promise. Even we can mess up a divine promise if we're not worthy of it. You have to be a little bit worthy of being redeemed in order to be redeemed. So Avraham Avinu was worried. He was worried about what would happen to his children in Egypt, which was the capital city of Avodah Zarah in those days, at least according to the Chazal conception of things. So, v'sham'u l'kolecha. V'sham'u l'kolecha, Rashi says, they're going to recognize you as being the inheritor of the mantle of Avram and Yitzhak and Yaakov. And what do Avram, Yitzhak and Yaakov have to do all of this? Well, Avraham went to Mitzrayim and came back. Yitzhak went to Mitzrayim and he was on his way to Mitzrayim. He only went to the land of the Plishtim, but it was sort of a kind of a chutz la'aretz, because the land of the Plishtim was never conquered. It was not conquered by David HaMelech either. So Asa has always been a problem as the land of the Plishtim. So Avraham went to Mitzrayim and came back. Yitzchak went to the land, wanted to go to Mitzrayim. He wanted to emulate his father. But God said, Gur ba'aretz hazot, don't leave Eretz Yisrael. But he left the political Eretz Yisrael. He went to the land of Mitzrayim. So that's what v'shavu b'kolecha means according to Rashi. They will listen to you because they will recognize you as the follower of the promise to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Having said all of that, let's look at the Chumash on Perek Dalet. You see the Chumash on Perek Dalet? Aleph. What? Here. Vayad Moshe Vayomer Vehein Lo Yaminu Li. What do you think of that? V'hem lo yaminu li. In other words, he doesn't disagree. What would disagreement mean if we're reading the Chumash correctly, or we're reading it at all? What would disagreement, if Moshe Rabbeinu disagreed with what God said to him somehow? I mean, if you could disagree. So if Moshe Rabbeinu could disagree, what should he have said? He should have said, hey, lo yishma'u li. After all, that was the promise that God made to Avraham Avinu, was it not? That they will listen to him. So if Moshe Rabbeinu thought that they wouldn't listen to him, he should have said, they won't listen to him. Lo yishme'u li. They won't listen to me. Hey, lo ya. But he didn't say that. He said, v'hein lo ya'aminu li. In other words, as I understand it, you can read it this way. What he is doing is Moshe Rabbeinu is injecting a new element. He's like, he's saying, okay, they'll listen to me. Okay, they'll do what I tell them. Okay, you will be able to take them out of the tribe. In other words, this is a problem that Moshe Rabbeinu brought up, which God did not address, so to speak. V'hein lo ya'aminu li. V'lo yishmu'u b'kol li. Right? The lo yishmu comes after the lo ya'aminu. Ki yomru lo nir'eh eilecha Hashem. And they will say that God did not appear to you. So Rashi says that they will get it with the code. There's a code. Pakod yifkad. What you said to Avraham Avinu, that's what I, Moshe Rabbeinu, am saying. But Moshe Rabbeinu himself is saying, Ki yomru lo nir'eh eilecha Hashem. You don't really know the code. And then, Sir of Sukkim later, God says, okay, Leman Yaminu, Kinera Le Hashem, Gevdel Le Avram and Sok Le Yaakov, Pasuk Chet. I mean, the dot means they're missing material. Vaya em lo yaminu lecha, velo yishminu lekol, ha'ot ha'rishon, ve'aminu lekol ha'ot ha'acharon. So here's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says, God says, they're going to listen to you, and I'm going to bring all these makot of Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Lo yaminu, they're not going to believe me. So God said, okay, we'll do a couple of little miracles first. We'll start it off with junior-sized miracles. We'll take the mateh, the staff thrower, Etel Nachash, put your hand into your cloak, it'll come out as leprosy. Not only that, God says that even if they don't listen to the first makkah, the first nes, which is really seems like a kind of minor little miracle compared to the miracles of the 10 plagues. So then put your hand in and come, it'll come out leprous, and then they'll believe you. Why will they believe you? Well, what sort of sense do you have? Because he puts his hand in, how comes he's going to believe? They'll believe him that he's going to take them out of Mitzrayim. So if you look at this Rashi, Eminu Nekola Otacharon, they will believe the second Ot. Kishe Tomar Lehem Bishvilchem Lakiti Al Shesipati Alechem Lashon Hara Yaminu Lecha. If you say to them, you take your hand out of your cloak, and it's leprous, and everybody knows that Sara'at is the punishment for Lashon Hara, and Moshe Rabbeinu will say to them, look at this, I'm being punished for the Lashon Hara I said about you, B'nai Yisrael, that you're not going to listen. Right? I'm being punished for that. Yaminu lecha, then they will believe you. Shekvar lamdu v'kach shamizdavgin lahara lahem lokim b'negaim. He says that was the missing piece in the story of Avram Avinu. That Avram Avinu, the people who wanted to do him in, they were punished. The king was punished by becoming Nigaim. He was afflicted. The king was afflicted. So when Moshe Rabbeinu presented this, his words to Bnei Yisrael, his Rashi, the people were not sure about Moshe Rabbeinu. Because in the story, there was no great person who was afflicted personally, as an individual. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, and I am afflicted because I spoke ill of Bnei Yisrael. So Bnei Yisrael, so then Rashi says, right? He says, Yaminu lecha, then they will believe you. Shekvar lamdu b'kasha mizdavgin l'hara lahem lokim b'negaim. They already knew that whoever comes upon the Jew and tries to do him in will himself be punished by these nega'im. So either Rashi is helpful or is not helpful. I don't understand. You mean if Moshe Rabbeinu says, I spoke to God and God told me this, and then they say, maybe you did, maybe you didn't, and then he becomes leprous in his arm, and he takes out of his cloak, and then they will believe him? Right? There's something here that is hard to understand. Let's say hard to understand. Okay? So I wanted to show you something that Rav Nosson wrote. Rav Nosson was the Boswell of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman. And Rav Nosson, besides writing all of the Torot of Rav Nachman of Breslov, he also wrote a book which is published today by Bratzlovers in 10 volumes. So it's like more than a book. It's like a lot of books. And I think I told you the story. Rav Nosson was working, learning, working, writing up the Torah of Rav Nachman. And it was Erev Pesach. And he went to the Rebbe, he went to Rav Nachman, he said, I feel that I would like to write a Torah of my own, but I'm not going to do it if the Rebbe doesn't give me permission. So would you, Rav Nachman, give me permission to write a Torah? So Rav Nachman said, yeah, well, I'll give you permission, but before you do that, I want you to review Torah. Torah Shebichtav, Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi, Shulchan Aruch, and the Zohar, and all the Kabbalistic works that we happen to have at hand. That's Rav Nachman. He says, after you do that, you come and tell me, and then I'll let you write your own Torah. So it was Erev Pesach that this discussion took place. And then Rav Nachman writes, like, in complete naivete, he said, and I went to see the Rebbe again on Erev Shavuos, having completed his charge to me. So it means from Pesach to Shavuos, he went through the entire Torah, as, you know, including Kabbalah. Torah, Bechtav, Baal Peh, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Shulchan Aruch, Mefarshei, Yerushalmi, and the Zohar, and cognate work. So he was certainly pretty smart. You know, he knew all this. He knew all this stuff. I mean, you could, Rav Kook, when Rav Kook was in Volozhin, Kook was in Volozhin for a year. When he was in Volozhin, he had a Seder B'kiyut. So, you know, today in the yeshiva, B'kiyut means you learn 30 lines a day instead of 10 lines. That's called B'kiyut. So Rav Kook had a Seder in B'kiyut where he learned 60 daf gemara a day. 60 daf gemara a day. And I always thought to myself, you know, it was easy for him because he knew it. He says, if you know it already, then it's no big deal to just turn the pages. It's only if you don't know it that it's a problem. So Rav Nosson knew it. And he didn't have any problem turning the pages. So Rav Nosson wrote this book called Likutei Halachot. Likutei Halachot, which tries to integrate all of the Shulchan Aruch, all the topics in the Shulchan Aruch, with the Torot of Rav Nachman of Bratzlav. Right? You would see, like, they're from two different worlds, like the Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch, it's halacha. And Rav Nachman of Bratzlav wrote Torot that are ideas. And yet, somehow, Rav Nachman does it. It's really wonderful. I mean, you know, it's kind of a relief, actually. Okay. We'll start from the last words on the third line. So this is that. So if you look at the heading, you see Likutei Halachot. Then it says Choshen Mishpat, which is one of the four parts of the Shulchan Aruch. Hilchot Pikadon, and then it's divided into essays. Each essay is called the Halacha. So this is Halacha Hey, but letter Zayin in the Halacha. So Halacha refers to Shulchan Aruch. But it's really not Shulchan Aruch at all. It's more. So we won't go into the halacha. We'll start with the last two words on the third line. Ki galut Mitzrayim hayal yidei chet Adam Arishon ki yadua shepagam ve'emunah. Now this is a hard sentence to understand. The first part of it, okay. I mean, Adam Arishon sinned. So when Adam HaRishon sinned, it was like the entire universe sinned. There wasn't anybody else. There was just him. And he sinned. But what this means when he says, Pagam Be'emunah Kamuva. So that means it's someplace in the Kabbalah that Adam HaRishon blemished faith. Faith in God. Now that's hard to imagine. I mean, how could Adam HaRishon have a problem with faith? He conversed with God regularly. I mean, that was his, his companion. God was his companion in Gan Eden, and then after he left Gan Eden, well, what's the pigam be'emunah? So we'll have to understand. Ikar ha-pigam, haya b'chinat emunat chachamim. He says the blemish that Adam HaRishon created was a blemish in Emunat Chachamim. Now, Emunat Chachamim means something different than what we might think it means today. So let him explain what he means. Emunat Chachamim means belief in the Chachamim. But we'll see what he's talking about. Yavo Pishu Nivra Yechidi, Velo Hayu Az Adayin Chachamim Ba'olam. Even though Adam HaRishon, he was the only person, right? He was the only person there. And there were no chachamim in the world. There was no chokhmah. Ki im hu levado. He was the only one. Maybe he was a chacham. Avo pichein, ayat zarich biyoter lemunat chachamim. Nevertheless, in spite of that, the nature of man was that he had a need for this emunat chachamim, which he still hasn't explained to us. But listen, dehainu lehaamin be'atzmo. That's what emunat chachamim is, that he believes in himself. Can you imagine that? That sounds like a computer mistake. They put two lines together incorrectly. But no, he says emunat chachamim is a person able to believe in himself. And since Adam HaRishon was there himself, it now becomes possible for his chait to be a pigam in emunat chachamim, even though we don't quite understand yet what that means. But geometrically, it's possible. Chait babu, because haino la'amin ba'atzmo, whoever behatorah hanal, the reference to Rav Nachman, she'eim ma'aminim ba'atzmo, hu b'chinat pigam emunat chachamim. If you don't believe in yourself, then it's a blemish in emunat chachamim. V'chein mevu'a b'siman peyva b'likutei tinyan. He's referencing the book, the Rav Nachman book of Torot, al pasuk mikotzer ruach me'avodah kasha. Kotzer ruach, avodah kasha. There was a description of Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim who did not believe that they were actually being freed. Ki im haya adam ma'amin ba'atzmo shenishmato gavoh ma'od ma'od ki afilu ha'neshama shel ha'pachut shebi'Yisrael gavoh ma'od avoh tuluyim kol ha'olamot elyoniyim v'tachtonim bevaday lo ove shum aveira v'lo haya pogem shum pigam bifrat Adam HaRishon Shaya Yechidi Sheetzlo Haya Kol Emunat Chachamim Rak Bebchina Zot. So that if a person, he says, what is Emunat Chachamim? How the words fit in to the answer, we'll see in a moment. But Emunat Chachamim, according to the Ramban, means the belief that you are able to soar above the mundane and to connect yourself with the Ribbono Shel. That's what Emunat Chachamim is. And since Adam HaRishon, even though he was one person in the world, he should have either had it or he didn't have it. Right? He either had it or he didn't. So he didn't have it. Because Adam HaRishon, when the woman, when Chava came and said, well, maybe that's not what he said. So he had doubts. He didn't believe in himself. He didn't believe that he could actually report what God spoke to him about. So he didn't have emunat chachamim. He didn't have emunat chachamim. Now I'm going on, right? Befrat Adam HaRishon Sheya Yechidi, going back a line. Sheetzlo Haya Kol Emunat Chachamim Rak Bebchinat Zot. Ki Anachnu Tzrichim Emunat Chachamim Bechol HaBechinot HaMevoarim Sham La'amim B'tzadikim Amitiyim ולהאמין בחברו ולדבר עמו ביראת שמיים בבחינת אז נדברו יראי השם בפסוקי של יראיהו ויקשב השם וישמע ויקטב בספר. In other words, what's emunat chachamim? Each person has the ability, as I said, to soar to God, to be with the Spirit of God. But sometimes you need to look at somebody who you think has that emunat chachamim. And that, in other words, emunah is, you know, Rav Nachman was very big on emunah, on simple faith, without philosophy, without guile. Just simple faith. That's what he thought the answer to the question was. You have to have faith. But in order to have that simple faith, you need, number one, simple faith. But then there's number two. Number two is that you're able to look at somebody, and that looking, that feeling that you have when you look at that person encourages you to soar, to be that way, to find that strength within yourself, not to become enslaved to that person, that holy person, but to rather be engaged by him. Like it becomes possible for you to be that way because you see that he is that way. So that is the first level, or the highest level, is faith in God, neto. The next level is called emunat chachamim, according to Rav Nosson. That's what emunat chachamim is. And the third level is emunat atzmo. But emunat atzmo doesn't usually come to a person if he doesn't have emunat chachamim. But for Adam HaRishon, whose only option was emunat atzmo, we saw that he was not able to live up to that standard. He was not able, he sinned. He wasn't sure. God told him, don't eat, and he said, I'm not sure, and he longed on what God said, and he said, don't touch, don't eat. That's like he was mivulbal. He was mivulbal, so he didn't have emunat atzmo. He lost the capacity to think that he, Adam HaRishon, would be very certain about his relationship to God. He lost that. And when having lost that, because he was the only person in the world, he didn't have emunat chachamim to save him. There was nobody around who could save him at that time. So now go, Ki b'chol echad mi-Yisrael, he says, Yesh nekudah tova, Shehu b'chinat tzadik. Every single Jew can be a tzadik. Uviyoter tzorich lechazek ulitgaber la'amin la'atzmo. La'amin shegam ma'at avodato ve'isuko ba'torah yakar ma'od. Eitzel Hashem yitbarach. And he has to believe that whatever effort he puts in, whatever learning he does, no matter how trivial it seems to him, I mean, this is like chassidut on a certain level. He says, like, you know, we know you're not the gadol hador. We know that you're not learning Torah exclusively. We know that you can't do it exactly the way we dream to do it. But God loves you for using that spark of sanctity within you, even if it's only a little bit. Befrat mashe zachal itkarev l'tzadikim ukesheyim amitiyim la'min bahem sheze yakar ma'od ma'od eitzel Hashem yitbarach. And furthermore, this idea of emunat chachamim, of coming close to chachamim who are able to do what you can't do, who can encourage you to do a little bit more, he says, this is yakar ma'od eitzel Hashem yitbarach. This is very, very dear. Very dear to Hashem, ki afilu im yamin b'Hashem yitbarach u'b'tzadikim u'b'chaveirav ha'kesherim shekulam tzadikim avol eino ma'amin b'atzmo. He says, even if a person, listen to this, a person believes that these tzadikim are really tzadikim and they're all close to God and they're all davening, is the greatest davening that ever took place, but he doesn't believe in himself, he doesn't believe that he can be part of that. He doesn't believe he can be part of that. Eino ma'amin ba'atzmo, da'ayinu she'eino ma'amin she'emunato she'ma'amin b'chachamim amitiyim v'chu yekar ma'od ma'od gam ze pegam emunat chachamim. That's the pegam, that's the blemish in this notion of emunat chachamim. The reason that there is emunat chachamim is to encourage you to feel that way about yourself. But if you don't feel that way about yourself, you look at these chachamim, you say, oh, I could never do that. I could never be there. I could never be with them. And that's the end of the story. So that's a pagam, a blemish in this notion called emunat chachamim, right? That they don't impress you with the idea that you also are able to rise to the occasion. Okay, enough then. So this is what Rav Nosson said. Rav Nosson said that there are three levels of faith. Right? One is some the abstract notion that God is there and God is in charge of the world, and that's very difficult. It's very difficult for people who are busy with all kinds of things, a very difficult level of appreciation to achieve. And the second level is emunat chachamim. You're able to see in the chachamim, that it's possible, the third level, where emunat atzmo, where you're able to convince yourself that by emulating the chachamim, you'll be able to get to that level of understanding. So we go back to Moshe Rabbeinu. God said, "Vishamu lekolecha," and Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Okay, vishamu lekolecha." But my job, as I understand it, is not to get them physically out of Mitzrayim, to move them from one venue to another, even if moving them out of Mitzrayim will give them a great solace and make life more pleasant and they won't be slaves. Even that can't be my job. My job is to raise them spiritually, to make sure they understand that all of these makot are not coming from a God, but that they are coming from God. That they are coming from the God who promised Yitziat Mitzrayim to Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov. They're coming from that God. And the only way to do that is if they have emunat chachamim, according to Rav Moshe. Emunat chachamim, they can look at me. They look at me and they say, "Oh, we could be like him. We could be with God just like he is with God." So Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, either we include Rashi, yes, they'll know that I know the code words. They'll know that I know what the promise was exactly. And maybe they'll even leave Mitzrayim together with me, right? But they're not going to believe. They're lo yaminu li, right? And therefore, God said, it'll be okay. And it was okay. Because after the Egyptians were drowned in Yam Suf, they achieved a level of sanctity, spirituality, you call it, which enabled them to sing. Singing, as you know, singing is different than prose. Like prose, well, everything's very complicated. I'm going to say something simple. I'm sorry. Prose is when you say what you want to say. And poetry is when you say what you want to say, but you hope that the reader will understand what you really want to say. And shira, right, this, which is poetry, is where you understand davar mitoch davar, you understand more than you know. And the critical line in Shirat Hayam, to my mind, which I've said before, but I'd say it is an aside, the critical line in Shirat Hayam, you want to take a stamp? No, don't. Hashem, Mikdash, Hashem, Konenu Yadecha. Mikdash, the Beit HaMikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, Konenu Yadecha. You have made it for us. Why is that the critical word? The critical pasuk? Because that's the pasuk that says, yes, we thank God for what you've done, for the victory over the Egyptians, for taking us into the desert, for bringing us in the direction of Har Sinai. He says, but the critical point is that we are fully confident that the future is assured as the present. We are as confident about the future as we are about the present, and that's called emunah. That's what it's called. Right? And so, vayaminu v'ashem v'moshe avdo means that B'nai Yisrael suddenly realized who Moshe Rabbeinu was, and that Moshe Rabbeinu would enable them, according to the model of Rav Nosson, that Moshe Rabbeinu would enable them to achieve Ayaminu Vashem. That even suddenly the Chachamim talk about the Shifcha al Hayam, you know, the maidservant saw on Yam Suf what even prophets were not able to see. at various times. So at that moment when the Jews are singing Shira, where they're saying they're seeing more than the words tell them. They come to this great conclusion that Mikdash Hashem Kodenu Yadech of the past tense, that there's no difference between the future and the past, that the future is just as certain as the past, and the promise is certainly going to be delivered on a platter, to B'nai Yisrael. Have a good Shabbos.